Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's just start in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. I want to share some things with you tonight, still continuing on about prayer, the power of prayer. 2 Corinthians 4, 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, we've also received mercy. We do not lose heart." Anybody ever wanted to lose heart before? Is that anybody in here? Okay, so we'll make sure it's the right crowd. "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled from those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as bondservants of Jesus Christ's sake." Now, when Paul's writing this and he's talking about this, he's talking about people who don't believe that Jesus is the Savior, right? That's what he's meaning there in this text. He's saying it's people that aren't believers, right? But, you know, let me ask you something. I think this carries on to another thought here. Is the times in life that the devil wants to blind our minds so that we don't believe that what we're praying is going to come to pass? I believe he works overtime to continue to work. If he can blind a person's mind that they don't believe that Jesus is Lord or Jesus is Savior, right, or Jesus is the Son of God, however you want to look at it, you know, then what about blinding our minds if we just don't believe that what we pray is going to happen or God's going to do anything? Especially if you've been praying about a situation and you haven't been seeing anything happen, then it's real easy to get discouraged and then you're not really believing, but the enemy plays on that. He does not want you to believe God's word, because if you believe God's word, then the power of the gospel is going to begin to work in your life. Right? Because as soon as the entrance of the word comes in your life, it's going to begin to produce, it's going to make something. But if he can keep you from believing the word, or speaking the word, or reading the word, or walking in the word, or confessing the word, or praying the word, you're going to be defeated. Right? Okay. Now look at verse 7. It says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. For we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. And see, we don't like to read this. That's the bottom line. This is the scriptures that we want to cut out with the X-Acto knife and get rid of them. Because who wants to be hard pressed? I don't want to be hard pressed. I want it to go easy. Hello? I mean, it's all of us. It's human nature. You're not weak and foolish to want it to go easy in life. Everybody wants to be a millionaire. Nobody wants to work hard enough to be a millionaire. But everybody just wants to win the lotto, or, you know, you start talking about things like that, everybody says, "Oh, yeah, that's what I want to do. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." Because we don't really want to have to work to succeed. Or if we don't mind working to succeed, we just want it to go easy. Right? I don't know how many times in my life I've been doing whatever, and I said, "Man, why couldn't this just work easy?" And then after I became a Christian, it was kind of like, "Come on, Lord. I mean, can't you pitch me a bone down here? Come on, make this thing work." You know, and I just basically wanted him to wear out. I don't want to read hard pressed on every side. But we say not crushed. Well, we're like, yeah, but if we just weren't hard pressed, we wouldn't have to worry about not crushing. I mean, it's kind of hard to rejoice over not crushed. Right? We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, I mean, it seems like it's getting worse as he's going along here. Struck down, right? But not destroyed. Verse 10 says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus always may be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sakes, but the life of Christ may also be manifest in our mortal flesh. Now, he also is talking there about carrying out and preaching the gospel, because Paul is being persecuted as a minister, that if he wasn't a minister, he wouldn't receive that persecution. He's talking about that, but it's also in our daily lives. Verse 12, so then death is working in us, but life in you. For since we have the same spirit of faith, according to as is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. You know, there's several times in the scriptures, and this is not really about what the message is tonight, but there's several times in the scriptures you find Paul quoting the Old Testament. In other words, Paul is speaking the word from the Old Testament. In other words, he's quoting his Bible that they had of that day. Right? He's showing us an example of how we should be. He's pulling out a scripture from the Psalms or Proverbs or, you know, Deuteronomy or Numbers or wherever he's getting the scripture from, whatever he's reading in his Torah. He's reading and he's saying, listen, they said in the past, they believe, therefore they speak. We're believing, therefore we speak. Y'all with me? Because that came from Psalms 116:10. In case you wanted to know. It says, knowing that he who raiseth the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Christ, who will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound in glory to God. Okay, verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. You know, I'm going to say it this way. To me, there's a difference. To be discouraged is one thing. To lose heart, something else. To be discouraged and to say, dadgummit, tired of working with this thing and I wish it would work and I can't believe this thing isn't going right. And, you know, and man, what is going on here and why isn't this taking place? And I'm so tired of messing with this thing. But to lose heart is to say, look, I don't care what happens anymore. I don't want to mess with it. Hello? See, now there's losing heart. May not be, there may be degrees of heart loss, right? But that's starting it right there. So, he says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So, there's got to be something happening here, because this physical outward man, you know, or is perishing or being discouraged or wanting to lose heart. But he said there's a key, because you can be renewed in your inward man day by day. So it is a day by day process. For our light affliction, he calls it light affliction now. A while ago he's been talking about being struck down, you know, persecuted and all this, and now he's calling it light affliction, which is but for a moment. Man, doesn't it seem like it's an eternity? But you got to always make this comparison. I'll show you this in just a second. The light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So then what you're walking through on this earth, I had a person come to me one time, years ago, and they were arguing the point with me that the message I'd preach was wrong, because that there is no rewards in heaven. In other words, when everybody gets to heaven and you come across the pearly gates, everybody is equal. And I said, I hate to tell you, but God is not a communist. God's not trying to spread the wealth in heaven and make everybody equal. He's not a communist. He says what we do on this earth and how we behave on this earth and what we endeavor to persevere in the faith of the gospel and in the way we walk and the way we handle things, it affects heaven. Right? It affects heaven. So verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So Paul's saying the way that you renew day by day, the way that the Spirit of God can renew you is that you have to quit looking at the circumstances and situations around you, and you have to start thinking more about eternity and more about what's taking place in life and how this affects eternity. And by doing that, then the Spirit of God renews you because you realize, listen to me, your life is not about just how many years you're going to live on the face of this earth. Your life is about eternity. So, you know, I know that you that are older than I am in here, you know, you think this is funny for me to say this right now, but I can't believe I'm 50. All right? I just can't believe when I had to write it down for the very first time that I was 50, it was just a blow to me. It was a shock to me. How could I be 50? How could I have gotten here to 50? I mean, like if you're older than I am, you're like, oh, that ain't nothing. Wait till you get to 70 or 60 or whatever, you know. But I'm just saying, it hit me that how fast this life here on this earth is gone. But I'm not living for this life. I'm living for eternity. I'm living on how we can affect eternity. And if we get so caught up with looking at everything on this earth and going around us, we miss what's really the important thing, which is eternity. How many times in my life I've had myself in a tailspin on a day about the problems of something that's going on around me and missed the opportunity to witness to somebody that's right down the street because I was too caught up in what was going on over here or whatever. And I see that is the ploy of the enemy. To get us so just bombarded with everything that's going on that we get off focus. And I want to tell you something. I'm just kind of, you know, just look at the media today. Look what's going on in the world today. Look at the news media. Whatever the news media wants to magnify, good or bad, right or wrong, whatever the news media wants to magnify, then it's bombarded. It's over the radios, it's over the televisions, it's over you know, every form of communication over the internet. And they push this message, trying to get everybody to believe it. And I just the other day, I said, man, that is exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to get into our heads and magnify this problem or magnify this situation or magnify this or sow this into us where this is the thought we're thinking when it's really the mute point. It's the minor point when this is really what's important over here. But we get captivated and caught up in all that. Right? Okay. Now go to the book of Luke, chapter 10. And let's start reading verse 1. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before the face of every city. Now, if you go back and you read Luke chapter 9, that was when Jesus gave the authority to the disciples, and they were going around. So he gets more troops, right? Sends more soldiers out. He sent them two by two before the face of every city in a place where he himself was about to go. So he sent these people in front of where he was going to go so they could go ahead and start preaching, stir up the gospel, stir up people's faith. Because you can see throughout the scriptures, you know, and you just have to go there and find it. Because I'm off on another message, where Jesus said even in his own hometown he couldn't do many miracles because there wasn't any faith. So Jesus decided he's going to send out 70 people, going to send them all out to go before the town to stir the people up about the gospel so they could get their faith stirred up. So when he came into town for the meetings, they really had some power going. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in the harvest. Now go your way, and behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals. Greet no one along the road, and wherever you, whatever house you enter, say, peace be into this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, you will return to you. and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the labor is worthy of his wages. Whatever city you enter, they receive each such things as set before you. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. And whatever city you enter, they do not receive you. Go out to the streets and shake off the dust that's clinging to your shoes. Okay? He goes on down, and let's go back to verse 17 now, or go down to 17. Now I want you to see something here. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. I'll stop right there. So, some time has taken place, right, between these verses. If you just read it, it reads like it all happened in one day. Now go out, and then they're back. So, obviously, there's time has elapsed. I don't know how much time. Could have been months, you know, but there's time has elapsed. They come back to him. Jesus now has rounded up all of his soldiers he sent out. He gets them up, then they start. And they're amazed. See, they're saying that, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. In other words, something happened greater than they were expecting. Otherwise, they'd have come back and said, yeah, just like you said, Lord, it happened. But they came back and telling him something amazing, like, man, this is amazing. Even the demons are subject unto us. You following me? So in other words, when they left, they didn't have much faith. But when they came back, they had a lot of faith. Right? When they left, they were looking at the natural. When they came back, they were looking at the supernatural. Because I'm telling you, if you just walk in the natural and you just look at the natural all the time, you're going to live in a life of limited faith. Because your faith is going to be limited in what you've seen happen. But if you... or stretch your faith and you see God moving, then your faith is built to where you're amazed. And you're saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. Now watch this. Okay, I want to read it again, verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. It doesn't really sound like the proper response. Y'all with me? Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I can just see the look on their faces like, yeah. Yeah. Because they don't want to seem stupid in his presence, so they probably were agreeing with him, you know, like, yeah, And they're like, what the heck is he talking about? Are y'all with me? I mean, you got to understand, these are real people. This is not, you can't read your Bible and just so spiritualize it that these are real people with real faults, and just like you and I would have been. And if somebody would have said that to me when I was coming back just excited that the demons were subject and the miracles, we were talking about that, and he says, yeah, I saw Satan fall from heaven like light. And they're like, when? What are we talking about here? You mean while we were out, you saw something? When did this happen? But if you go back and they couldn't do it because they didn't have a Bible. But if you go read over in Revelation chapter 12, you can see that they were talking about that. Jesus is talking about the war that took place in heaven before even earth was. Or man on earth was. Let's put it that way. So what I'm saying is, where was Jesus looking when they told him this? Or what was his thought? His thought was eternal. His thought was what already took place in heaven. His thought was what already took place in the spiritual realm that they now were walking in the natural realm. You see what I'm saying? When Satan fell from heaven like lightning, then all authority, because the next verse, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Verse 19 says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. In other words, that was the time when Satan fell from heaven that the delegated authority or the authority in heaven resided and rested with Jesus. And the devil was defeated. He had no authority. And Jesus had the authority. It was delegated authority. So what he's saying is, I saw it happen in the past, what you're actually walking in today, and I'm the one that have authority, and that's the reason why the demons are subject in my name, because I have authority, not the devil. I saw him defeated. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Now, in the natural realm, we see this, okay? If Frankie gives me authority and says, Robert, will you go out to the ranch and get the cattle trailer and go over there and load up a cow and take her to the auction and sell her for me? He gave me authority to go do that. I'm doing it under his delegated authority, right? It's not my trailer, not my cow. And if I'm just get in there and I'm driving down the road and I look over and I go by Bruce's place and I say, you know, I want to stop over there and load up a few sheep, sell them for Bruce. Well, Bruce didn't give me authority to go sell a sheep. So if he drives up while I'm out there selling, loading his sheep, he's going to say, what are you doing, sheep thief? Right? Because I'm stealing his sheep. Because I have no authority to go get Bruce's. Bruce didn't give me authority. Frankie gave me authority. So you can only operate in who gave you the authority. Right? Jesus is saying, look, the reason why all the demons are subject to you, the reason why miracles are taking place, the reason why things are getting cured, because I have authority. Not the devil. I saw him defeated. I saw the war take place. Didn't last but a second. He was cast out of heaven. And I'm in charge. And now I gave you that authority. And that's why it's working. So if I'm loading Frankie's cow up in the trailer and Robert comes by or Darlene comes out of the house and she says, Pastor, what are you doing? And I said, well, Frankie told me to come get the trailer and load this cow and take her to the auction ring. Well, she may believe or Frankie may have told her that I did it, but if not, she can pick up the phone and call, hey, did you tell Robert to come in to get it? Yeah, he did. Okay. Oh, okay, Robert, thanks. Great. She's not going to contend my authority because the man that's in charge has given me authority. She's simply going to do what he says. You see what I'm saying? She's got the word then from the man that's in authority that I have the right to function and do what I'm doing. Uncontested. Y'all following me? Well, they were amazed that the devils are subject to them, and Jesus is looking past the natural and he's saying, yeah, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And I have authority. And I think when he said it to him, if we could see the DVD of it and see their faces, I don't think they got it. See, they just simply did what Jesus told them to do. And in doing it, they were walking in the delegated authority. But they really didn't have an understanding of the workings of that authority. But that didn't mean it didn't work, because the devil had knowledge of that authority. Now, this is a point I'm trying to get to out of all this preaching. So whether you understand the workings of faith or understand the workings of heaven or understand the workings of the battle that took place when Satan was defeated is really irrelevant. The only thing you have to know is what did Jesus tell you to do? Well, I don't know, Pastor. I heard, well, wait a minute. Didn't he tell us to pray? Didn't he tell us to pray for the harvest, that laborers to be sent out to the harvest? I mean, you can go through the scripture and just find all these promises, all these things that didn't he tell us to walk in health? Didn't he tell us to prosper? Didn't he tell us to give? Didn't he tell us to love? Didn't he tell us to have mercy? Didn't he tell us to walk in grace? See, it's already delegated. It's already said to us. So the enemy has no recourse but to get you to doubt that you have the delegated authority so that you don't use it. Because if you don't use it, nothing happens. if I don't go out to Frankie's house and get the trailer and load the cow, and then I see Frankie later and he says, hey, did you get that cow and sell it at the auction? I say, well, no, I never did. Well, why not? Well, I just didn't really believe that you really wanted me to go get that cow and load that trailer and sell it at the auction. And I said, what the heck are you talking about? I told you, go out there, get the trailer, get that thing. Oh, let's make it a little bit better. Go get the trailer, get the cow, go to the auction ring and sell it and put that check in your name. Ooh. Before I was just employed by him, see, in a sense. But now if I want to put the check in my name, that means he told me to go do something and get it and sell the cow and put it in my name. And I said, oh, I didn't think you'd do that. I can't believe you that you would just give me a cow. And if he would just see me, he said, well, I told you to go do it. What, you want me to go do it for you? Listen, I don't have time to go get that cow and take it over there and sell it for you. I've already done the work. I'm giving you the authority to go do it. Go do it. Well, it'd just be nicer, if you'd go do it for me. Because I feel a little awkward about it. You see what I'm saying? You see this situation? So we're going to pray, and we're using the authority, the delegated authority that Jesus gave us, because it's not your authority. You don't got no authority. Your authority comes, and your power comes from the delegated authority that Jesus gave you. Over your family, over your kingdom that he's put you in charge of. But if you don't believe you have any delegated authority and you don't use that delegated authority, you can't just pray and ask Jesus to go do it for you because he's already delegated you to go do it. But you know what? If I went ahead and was bold enough to go get the trailer, load it up, load the cow up, go to the auction ring, tell them, put the check in my name and send it to me and got it. So, man, this is really nice. Then I got to go put it in the bank, go put it in my account. And I put it in the account, and it goes through. Check doesn't bounce, you know, or there's not. Frankie's not knocking on my door saying, why was that money for that cow? Right? I see him, and he said, hey, did everything work out okay? I said, yeah, it worked out great. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Okay, well, next week, go over there and get my trailer and get another cow. There's another cow cut out. It's over there in that pen. Get it. Go over there and sell it and just put that one in your name too. You know what? I'm going to be a little more at ease. Already done it once. Right? I'm going to be a whole lot more appreciative. Frankie, he's pretty generous, man. Give me two cows now. Y'all following me here? That's what happens when you start to operate in prayer and you start to trust in the Lord and you start to see things happening and God moving. When you start doing it, then the next time it's easier, the next time it's easier, the next time it's easier, because you're truly trusting and believing in what the Lord is doing. And it doesn't make any difference. It started out with something small and then it's now something big. You're going, and it's getting easier and easier. But the minute you take your eyes off heaven, the minute you take your eyes off who gave you the authority, the minute you take your eyes and you put them on the things of this world and the hard pressed and pressed down and shaken and what was it, perplexed, all those things start happening and you start looking at those. This is what will happen. Back to my illustration. Frankie will say, go get that trailer, go out there and get that cow, load it and take it off. And I said, I don't know, I got too much I'm worrying about right now. I can't go do that. Well, what's the matter? Well, I got all these bills I got to get paid, and I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, go get that trailer, pick up that cow, take it over to the auction. Well, you know, I might have a flat on the way. I don't know if I have a flat on the way. I don't know if I can, you know, I got enough money to get the flat fixed, and so I don't know. I'll be stuck on the side of the road with your cow, and then I don't know what will happen then, and so I'm not going to go. You see what I'm saying? How we talk ourselves out of all these things? And it's because we're looking at the things that are seen, not at the things that are not seen. We're looking at the things that are seen. And we're letting the things that are seen dictate in our minds what we can do. Rather than looking at the unseen and saying, listen, I work for the King. And I'm just simply going to do what his delegated authority has told me to do. Now remember, even though all this is true, okay, they're still pressed down. There's still hard times. Doesn't mean everything's just going to be easy. But it just means that everything you're going through, you're going to win. That's where we get it wrong. The minute we run into some opposition, we think, well, something's wrong, because if we had any opposition, I thought this is going to be easy sailing. I've told y'all this 100 times that we first got saved, we first started to serve the Lord. I mean, first 30, 60 days, 90 days, it just everything was really good. And right after that, it just like all of a sudden, the easy period was over. I remember trying to get up and go to church one Sunday morning, and this is no joke. I went outside, there was a flat tire on the car. I said, goodness gracious, never had a flat tire on the car. Just went out there and the car returned. So I already had my good clothes on, and went out to change my clothes, go back outside, fix the flat, get the flat. I had a spare, thank God I had a spare. Put the spare on, go back inside, change my clothes again. I'm okay, I'm not out of sorts yet. I go over there, put some toast in the little toaster, put it in there, walked off. Laura said, hey, the dryer just broke. We're trying to get some clothes dry to go to church. And I said, okay. I looked over there. The toast was toaster was just caught on fire. The toaster caught on fire thing just burning up, flaming up over there. Went and put that thing out trying to get the dryer fixed. Dryer's broke, couldn't get that thing fixed. I said, Lord, have mercy. We better just leave. The best thing we need to do is shut the house down. Let me just kill the power and let's leave because things aren't going so good. Went out in the car, got in the car, drove down the road, and the horse was out. Got the stupid horse back in. Went down the road, and there's some cows out on the road. Had to call, try to get the cows out. Go down the road, and a buzzard from hell just flew out and hit the front windshield of the car, cracked the windshield. This was all in just a short distance. Then we get on down the road. We turned coming up here. It was a big old hog, right? Ran out in front of the car. Went, almost hit this big old pig on the road. Like to turn the car over, trying to dodge it. Kids falling around the back. That's poor car seats, you know. Kids flying all over the place, grabbing them, trying to put them back before they hit the windshield. To get to church and just and thinking, Lord, have you left me? What is going on? Where is my bubble of mercy and grace and peace? It's not supposed to go like this. Everything's supposed to be great now because I'm saved. Right? And then it's like, then you start learning this and you start saying, well, wait a minute, And we made it. And I bet in heaven everybody rejoiced. Look at that. They made it. Bless God. They're determined. Oh, Robert, he's hard-headed. It's going to be good for something someday. Are y'all with me? And all I'm saying, church, is if he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning and he's in charge and he says, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, then that's yours. And as long as you don't back off, as long as you don't give up on going and getting that cow, as long as you don't quit using that authority, you will have victory. You'll have some trials going through it. You'll have some problems, some perplexities, some things that you have to overcome. You will win. Look at the person beside you and say, you're going to win. Amen? You'll win. So the power of prayer. Amen? So we're not going to lose heart. We're going to keep going forward. Glory. Well, praise God. We're going to practice it. We're going to do it. We're going to keep marching. Knock off all the rubble and everything else that's from the rocks being thrown and everything else going on in life, right? Dust yourself off and keep on going. Praise God.